Today is the last Sunday of my 14th year as pastor of this church. Next Sunday, I begin my 15th year, and I can hardly believe that. So many things have happened, and yet it seems such a short time. That first Sunday, everybody wondered, I suppose, what the new preacher looked like, and so they brought, at the 9:30 service, they brought in the Sunday school children. Our 9:30 service back in those days wasn't very large, so they put them over in there, but when I got up to preach, they took them out. And one little girl looked up as she went out and waved to me, so I really felt welcome. But it's hard to believe that 14 years have gone by. Reminds me of the young pastor who went to his first church, a little country church, and he went in that first Sunday to preach, and there was an old hound dog lying by the pulpit. So he got him up and took him out and tied him to a tree. After the service, one of the men came up and said, "Do you realize that the dog you took out belonged to the stated clerk of the session?" And he was chagrined. He went up to the stated clerk and he said, "Mr. Smith," said, "I apologize for taking your dog out." He said, "That's all right. I wouldn't have wanted him to hear that sermon anyway." If you'll turn in your Bibles, please. You know, I did something at the last service I hadn't done before. Maybe I ought not to do it again, but I am. When I first came here, we had quite a few older members and not many younger members. We could have almost closed the nursery. But at the last service, I asked all those 35 and under to stand. And I almost half of the congregation stood. Somebody said if I'd said 39 and under, everybody could have stood. But well, I'm kind of curious. All of you who are 35 and under, would you just stand for me?
It's not fair.
Okay, boy, that's a lot of young people. That's really nice. God's really blessing Central, isn't he? Now, if you'll turn, please, to the book of Ephesians. I may get in trouble with the session for doing that. That reminds me of the three little boys who were talking about their fathers and which was the richest. And one little boy said his father was the richest because he owned all the land on the farm. The other little boy said his father was the richest because he was the banker and he owned all the money. The other little boy said that, he said his daddy was the preacher and his daddy was the richest because he owned hell. I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Well, I heard him come home and say that's what the session gave him the other night." Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to begin reading at verse 22 and read through to the end of the chapter, verse 32. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning at verse 22. Now, we believe that the Bible is the only infallible rule, the unfailing guide to tell us what we should believe about God and Jesus and the Holy Spirit and how we should live our lives. The only infallible rule of faith and practice. Therefore, to know what God has to say to us, the only unfailing way is to go to the Word. Listen to what God has to say to us in this portion of Holy Scripture. Put off your old nature. We've got to change our spiritual clothes. Put off your old nature, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful lusts. Bag in your old dirty clothes, and be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and put on the new nature, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away falsehood, let everyone speak the truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. It's going to be talking now that the Christian who's put on this new spiritual suit, this new spiritual garb, is going to relate differently to other people. Put away falsehood. Let everyone speak the truth. be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. That's our theme for this morning. I'll be coming back to that. Let the thief no longer steal, but rather let him labor, doing honest work with his hands, so that he may be able to give to those in need. If you've got on your new spiritual suit, you don't take from others. You do things in order to give to them. That's pretty profound, isn't it? Let no evil talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for edifying as fits the occasion, that it may impart grace to those who hear. So you're to grace people with how you speak and not do something contrary to that. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice. Throw those old clothes on the fire. And here's how you relate as Christians. Be kind to one another. You can underscore this and coming back to it. Be kind to one another. Tender-hearted. What does that mean? Tender-hearted. Forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Our meditation this morning is entitled, When the Sunset Does You In. Be angry, but do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. May God bless to us this reading from His holy word. To His name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. Holy God, speak to us through this word. Address us in our hearts and give us insights into the kind of people you call us to be and empower us to be. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Night can be a bad time. Have you ever had something go wrong and when you go to bed you can't get it off your mind? And you lie there and your mind keeps worrying the thing like a dog working over a bone. Or maybe you've gone to bed angry. Believe me, that's a losing proposition. You lie there and you think of all the things you wish you had said or done in that situation that made you angry. You grind your teeth and your mind whirls and your body gets tense and sleep is the last thing that's going to happen to you. Have you ever had that experience? I know I have, and it isn't much fun, is it? Well, I think that's something of what the Bible is talking about in our scripture for this morning when it says that we shouldn't let the sun go down on our anger. Just as the Bible says, it does give the devil an opportunity. When we're angry and when we're upset and when we're thinking up all those mean and bad and ugly things that we could have done or said, the devil is the one that's beginning to manipulate our hearts. He's controlling the strings of our heart. Has that been your experience? And at a time like that, we're not ourselves. It's as though something or someone, bad and evil, has got control of our emotions. Now, if it were not for my wife, our basement would be overflowing into the street. I am a compulsive keeper. I am a pack rat, she tells me. I keep all kinds of junk and trash. And I have the idea that... I almost said that. I keep all kinds of junk and trash. And I have the idea that somewhere, sometime, I'm going to need that bit of metal. I'm going to need that length of wood. I'm going to need that piece of rope. Or I'm going to use that nice box. But my wife is a compulsive throw-awayer. I can't live with all this junk, she says, as she throws away my treasures. Now, I can get very indignant about what she throws away, except for the life of me, I can't remember anything she's thrown away that I have ever needed later on. And naturally, she doesn't let me forget that.
But the fact is, almost all of us are emotional junk collectors. Do you do that? Are you an emotional junk collector with your emotional basement full of trash? Is there a lot of psychological clutter and debris in your life? Are there old wounds, old memories, old hurts, and even old failures that clutter up your life? Well, I suspect there are those things in your life, and the reason I suspect it is because I know there is a lot of that kind of clutter in my own life. Most of us have a lot of things that we should have left behind a long time ago, cut the strings, because they hold us back and trip us up and keep us from growing and maturing and moving on in life. Is that true for you? Are there things that happened to you that you haven't gotten rid of? Are there things that happened where you want to get even, or someday you plan to make it up, or do you grieve because you didn't do then what you can think of to do now? Is there some old failure in your life that sticks out like a sore that festers, and you just wish you could go back and undo what you did that was wrong? Well, most of us do that. And life gets cluttered up with emotional debris that keeps us from growing. Our emotional basements are filled with junk. But the Bible says not to let the sun go down on those sort of emotions. And I don't know about you, but there are some times when I need to reach out and just try to stop the sunset. Wasn't this the case with Lot and his wife when God told them to leave Sodom behind? God told them to leave that wicked city. He told them to forget the past, focus their eyes on the future. But you know, it's not an easy thing to leave things behind. The Bible tells us that when the angels of the Lord told Lot to leave Sodom or be consumed, it was hard for him to do. And the Bible says of Lot, but he lingered. He lingered. Do you do that about the past? Are you guilty of lingering emotionally over things that you need to put behind you and forget and walk away from? But worse still, the Bible tells us that Lot's wife looked back. And looking back destroyed her. You see, you can't live in the past. I've known people like that. There are people who live in the past who keep looking back on what's already happened. And because looking back keeps you from living in today and living for tomorrow, it destroys you. Sometimes couples come in to counsel when their marriage is on the rocks. And do you know what is the most difficult thing we have to deal with in helping a couple put their marriage back together? The most difficult thing is the lingering. The lingering. It's the past. It's the clutter and the debris of old arguments, old hurts, old wounds that neither can forgive or forget. They've let the sun go down on their wrath. It's like the man who was talking to his friend, and he says, every time my wife gets angry with me, she gets hysterical. He said, you mean hysterical? He says, no, I mean historical. She remembers everything I ever did. There are times when the clutter and the debris of the past keep us from following Jesus. Do you remember the story of the man who came to Jesus and he said he wanted to follow him? And Jesus welcomed him gladly. But when the time came for Jesus and his followers to move on to the next town, the man said he couldn't come right then. He said he had to go home and tell everyone goodbye. He still had some ties to the past that he was unable to cut. There were things in his past that held him back and kept him from following Jesus. A lot of us are like that. We see Jesus and we are deeply attracted to him. We say we'd like to be his disciple. We'd like to follow him. But when it comes to reality, when it comes to actually putting the past behind us and cutting all the things that bind us and following him, we find out we don't want to give up the past. Jesus said to the man who wanted to go home first, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back, no man lingering is fit for the kingdom of God.
is that our problem too in following Jesus? Do you remember how St. Paul put it? He said, forgetting those things that lie behind and straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the mark of the upward call of God. Are you doing that? Are you cutting the ties to whatever binds you in order to follow Jesus? Not looking back, but pressing on. You see, God is not nearly so interested in your past. Jesus on the cross has dealt with all of that. He's interested in your now. Well, let me point out several things to you about our scripture for this morning. First, it says that there are a lot of things that break our relationship to one another. It says falsehood breaks fellowship. To be deceitful and dishonest in our relationship, to lie, breaks fellowship. It says stealing causes a breakdown. And you can steal things from someone other than material possessions. Did you know that? You can steal a person's self-confidence. You can steal his reputation. You can steal his self-esteem. Just the other day, a couple I was counseling with was sharing their problems, and she began to berate him for his failure in their sex relationship, and in the process, she began to steal his self-esteem as a man. And I watched with sorrow as a man literally withered before my eyes. And I've seen a man at a dinner party that his wife had fixed for guests criticize and abuse her and steal from her esteem in what she had done, to steal from her the joy she had in fixing for others. There are many ways we can steal from one another. We can steal laughter at the expense of our mate. Do you ever do that? Do you ever get your loved one in front of other people and tell something on them that gets you a laugh but puts that person in a bad light? When you do that, you steal from your mate. You steal from your marriage. The Bible has something to say about that sort of thing. It says in our scripture for this morning, let no evil talk come out of your mouth. You don't have to curse and swear and say ugly things to talk evil. When you're stealing from somebody verbally, that's evil talk coming out of your mouth. And so that's the first thing we can learn from our scripture for today. There are a lot of things that break our relationship to one another. St. Paul says to put that away. He writes, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice. Stop that. And when you think about it, are not those the sort of attitudes that have caused problems between you and someone else? Bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander and malice. And St. Paul says, stop the sunset. Don't let the sun go down on your anger. Don't linger. Now, the second thing we can learn from this is how to deal with those bad emotions. St. Paul says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Now, there are three things you can do to the Holy Spirit that are bad. For one thing, you can quench the Holy Spirit. That has to do with your relationship to God. When what's happening to you in life, you begin to distrust it and not trust God in terms of what's going on, when you don't believe that all things work together for good to them that love God, then when you do that, you are quenching the Holy Spirit. But in relationship to each other, when you begin to break those relationships, that grieves God's Spirit, which is God's empowerment within you to help you be the kind of person God calls you to be. And when you're not, that grieves the Holy Spirit. The third thing you can do is outrage the Holy Spirit, and that has to do with your attitude and relationship to Jesus Christ. So St. Paul says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit. And what that means is that God's Spirit is in each Christian, helping him to be and do what God desires. But God isn't going to handcuff you and hogtie you and make you do what he wants you to do. God doesn't work that way. Instead, he just puts his Spirit in our hearts to urge us, to empower us, to lead us to be what we should be and to do what we should do. And when we don't do that, it just grieves the Holy Spirit. I suspect a lot of us are grieving the Holy Spirit this morning because we've got bad relationships with someone else. Is it you by your own willfulness, or is it the Spirit of God that's controlling your life this morning? You see, to relate to others badly not only damages our relationship to each other, it damages our relationship to God. Because when God's Spirit in me is grieved, I'm wounded spiritually. And therefore, to be healed from this spiritual wound, I've got to heal my relationship to you. And some of us this morning may need to go to some other people and ask forgiveness. We may need to get some things out of our lives, quit lingering over hurts. Because you can never have a right relationship with God as long as we're grieving the Holy Spirit by a wrong relationship to each other. And you know, we may not be the one who did the wrong, but because of our attitude towards that other person, we are now wrong, and we must ask forgiveness. And then the third thing we can learn from our scripture this morning is what kind of persons we'll be when we let God's Spirit control our lives. St. Paul writes, "Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you." Look at those three words. Kind, that has to do with how we treat others. Tender-hearted, that's how we empathetically enter into the feelings of others. And forgiving, that's how we think internally about someone. Being kind has to do with how you treat another person. Are you kind to your husband? Are you kind to your wife? Are you kind to mother and dad? Are you kind to your children? Are you kind to the people you work with? Kindness is a work of God's Spirit in your heart. And oh, how families today need some kindness in them. How about tenderheartedness? That has to do with understanding how another person feels. Do you stop to think about how someone else may feel or think or react to what you're saying or you are doing? Do you stop to think about how someone may feel if you yell at them, if you yell at the kids? Do you stop to be tender-hearted to think, well, how are they feeling about this? How are they feeling about themselves because of what I'm doing or saying? Or you young people, if you disobey your parents, do you ever stop to think how their hearts may be hurting? Are you tender-hearted to empathetically enter into how another is feeling? And how about forgiveness? Can you forgive? Well, sometimes if the other person really repents and really tells us how sorry he is and is very humble about it, maybe we'll forgive. But the Bible says to forgive as God in Christ forgave you. And that means we forgive even when they aren't sorry, even when they don't deserve it, even when they aren't worthy of it. You remember what the disciples asked Jesus and what they said about forgiveness? They said, how many times shall we forgive? 7 times, that's a lot. You forgiven anybody 7 times lately? Jesus said, no, not 7 times, but 7 times 70. And 490 is just the beginning. Well, that's how it is. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let there be any lingering. That means either you let God's Spirit control you. It means either you do that or you have to stop the sun. And let me tell you, I've tried to stop the sun and it has never worked for me. And I don't think it will for you. Let us pray. Lord, there's a lot of brokenness in our relationship to each other this morning. There's a lot of lingering, a lot of emotional junk and clutter in our spiritual basement. And we've let the sun go down on them, and that was the wrong thing. Lord, help us to clean house this morning spiritually, just to empty our souls and say, Lord, I give all these hurt feelings, all these bad thoughts, and all these old remembrances, I just give them to you and ask you to take them by the power of your Holy Spirit. Let's clean out our emotional basements, Lord. And then let the power of your Spirit help us to be kind, tender-hearted, forgiving. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.